Have your Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. Now, this is perhaps the most famous passage in all the scriptures about a mom. Moms are special people. They probably sacrifice more than anybody on earth. They give more. And if they're a godly mom and love the Lord, they probably work harder than most people. Simply because there's so much to do in a home. I remember my grandmother when they didn't have washing machines. Now, anybody here can remember that? Would you raise your hand? They would have she had a crank machine that we had to go, a big black kettle would pour water in it, heat up the water. There was no hot water in the house. There were no toilets in the house. It had an outdoor toilet. And my grandmother, for I guess 50 years, we'd go out to that pot and we'd fill it up. And she'd take all the clothes and dump them in that pot. And I think she put the soap in that pot. It was lye soap that they had made. She had a stick about this long, a raggedy old stick. And she'd put that in and move those clothes up and down in there. And Tuesday was wash day. All day long. So all we did was wash. I sort of, you know, I'd go to my grandparents every summer for years. And I just loved being there. But wash day was not my favorite. Because we didn't take much time off. And I didn't realize that it was so much work. I just, grandma does it. She'll wash granddad's clothes, my clothes, uncle's clothes. He stayed there with them till he died. And then it was harvest time. Oh, that was not fun. Anybody ever shell peas or green beans, broke green beans? How about shuck corn? Oh, shucking corn. And every once in a while, there'd be a worm in the corn. And I'd say, oh, this is a bad one. She said, give it to me. And she'd whack it out. I said, the whole corn's bad. Throw it away, Grandma. She said, oh, no, just that part's bad. I'll get rid of it. Well, could you tell me which jar that's going in? Because I don't want to eat that jar. Oh, grandson, it's okay. It's all good. And she'd cut up all that stuff and take that corn on the cob and she'd go like that right down the side. And we always saved a bunch because we loved corn on the cob. But canning, oh my, kitchen was firecracker hot for days and days and days. And we had a 1 acre garden. Do you know how much food you can make in 1 acre? I mean, oh my goodness. You'd pick corn. Did you know that I didn't realize that the corn didn't grow in a can and go into Walmart? And then, you know, now green peas were not my favorite necessarily. But I loved green beans. And I loved corn on the cob. And I loved tomatoes. And all those things, peaches, apricots, plums, watermelons. We didn't have a watermelon tree, but we had a watermelon patch. It was an acre big. So I could go out there any day and get any watermelon I wanted. Oh, it was like heaven because I didn't have to do anything to the watermelon, just cut it open and eat it. I didn't have to can it, pluck it, pick it, strip it, and then bake all day in the kitchen while Grandma did all that. But I tell you what, that peach cobbler made it all worth it. My grandmother's 80 years old. I guess she's probably 82. And every morning for probably 60 years, she made 3 pans of biscuits, homemade biscuits, and homemade gravy. And, you know, did you know that eggs don't come in an egg crate? Did you know that? You have to go get the eggs, find them. You get them out of the hen house, wash them off and put them in there. If you grew up in America today, you might think chickens grew out behind Wegmans. And they just placed their eggs right in those cartons. Do you realize the work that went into the bacon, the chicken, the meal? Breakfast every morning. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but my grandmother lived to be 85, and they had bacon, eggs, and gravy and biscuits every morning for 85 years, I guess. My grandfather lived to be 80, and you know, we'd go in there and we'd eat that stuff, and it was wonderful. And the dogs, cats would line up outside the door because all the biscuits and gravy and stuff that was left, she'd go out there and rake it off, and that's what they ate. Listen to this. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Proverbs 31:13. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. That was my grandmother. Up before dawn, went to bed after late, washed the dishes, had the old iron skillet, cleaned that. We all had to go out to the outhouse to use the restroom. 60 years of that. Moms do more work than anybody on earth. I'm convinced of that. But today, a great mom, in heaven's eyes, has that included. But I want you to notice what is really important. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is used 110 times in Scripture. It always references the respect for God that you put your faith and trust in the Lord. So every godly woman has got to have trusted Christ as Savior. You put your faith and trust in the Lord. That means there was a time whenever you realized you were a sinner and didn't deserve to go to heaven, and you came to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me and come into my heart and save me? I'm sorry. Every woman in this room that's going to heaven has got to spend time at least one point in your life where you've realized that you're a sinner and you've come to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? My grandmother was saved like that as a child. It's irrelevant, really, when you got saved. The question is that you need to be saved. Every godly woman starts with the gift of eternal life in her heart. If you're here today and you're a mother, do you have that gift in your heart? That's the most important thing you could do to become a godly mother. The kind of mother that God says, well done. You'll also notice that she speaks with the Lord regularly. If you have your Bible, I want you to notice 1 Samuel. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel. Not only has she trusted Christ as Savior, but she speaks and talks with the Lord on a regular basis. Now, folks, we're not talking about a woman today, and maybe you're here today, and Mother's Day is about a nice dress and get your hair done right, and go out to lunch or to dinner. Somebody's going to take you out or do something like that. The godly mother is concerned about her heart and her relationship to the Lord and how that plays out in her life. And by the way, it's the same thing with fathers, and it's the same way with children. All of us have to trust Christ as Savior. But a godly mother, this one here in Proverbs 31, was a king, was describing a godly mother, and he described his own mother. What a treasure that is. to have a godly mother. But you'll notice, if you would, not only is she saved, but she talks with the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. She had a burden in her heart. Now, in this passage, Hannah did not have any children, and she was grieved over. She wanted to give, she wanted to have children, but you're going to see a little bit later, for the reason she wanted to have children, it just wasn't so that she could have a child. She wanted to have a child to do something with him. And I want to, you'll see that in a few minutes. Notice, if you would, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Every godly woman learns to take her burdens to the Lord. Every godly man, but since we're speaking about mothers today, when your child is sick, oh Lord, could I talk to you? When your child has done something that's not right, Lord, can I talk to you? Help me to handle this right. How many of your moms here today, you had children that didn't do something right? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, well, that'd be every one of us, every one of you. And so, you know, what do I do about that? Well, she goes to the Lord and says, Lord, would you help me to guide my children? Give me the right words to say. She is concerned about talking to the Lord with her needs and wants. Lord, I sure would like to have a new dress. Lord, I wonder how many, you know, a godly woman would pray for the things that she needs. She just doesn't say, hey, honey, I need to go shop and get a new dress. That could be a normal woman, but a godly woman, her heart and trust is, Lord, could I talk to you? The next person she talked with would be her husband. But she has this relationship that's symbiotic with the Lord. In other words, she counts on the Lord. I watched my grandmother go over by the party line phone. I thought it was pretty cool today. I'm not going to mention the name, but there was somebody that texted me this week and said, my wife has got a test or something and a procedure, whatnot, on a certain day. And he called me and said, would you pray for my wife? Or he texted me. And I said, okay, I will. And I was praying about it. And I talked to him recently, and he said to me, I got a direct line to heaven too, you know, Pastor. That direct line is important for every woman in this room. But you know what he said to me? I thought it was pretty cool. He said, but a party line's okay too. It helps. So you get a lot of people praying with their direct line to heaven. And so my grandmother had a party line phone right there that I got in trouble with a couple times. Does anybody know why? Brother Larry, stop laughing. Why? Oh yeah, it was cool. I'd go over and pick up the phone. I'd hear somebody say, well, you know, George over there, he's pulling his wheat too early. I think it's going to be bad for him. And then you hear somebody else to say, hey, my cow died, you know, and I don't have any milk. Can I borrow some milk? And I'm, oh, that's cool, man. Who is that? I wonder whose cow died. And my grandmother would come in here and say, grandson, put that phone down. Yes, ma'am. It's not nice to listen to other people's conversations like that. So I learned a lesson that don't even matter today. How many of you got party lines? See? Nobody has to worry about that lesson. But I'd watch my grandmother. She'd go over next to that party line phone. She'd take out her Bible. She had a quarterly she would do her devotions with every day. So you know what? It stuck in my mind. Maybe I need to talk to the Lord every day. A godly mother talks to the Lord every day. She gives him her burdens. Notice what Hannah says in verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid. She was infertile, couldn't have any children. And she said, remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. She didn't ask for just a child. She said, give me a son. She said, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. I want a son to give back to you, Lord, It wasn't a selfish request. It was, Lord, I want to be a mom and I want to give you one of my greatest treasures, a little son, that you can use him. And she did that when he was a child. She gave him up, the Bible says, when he was weaned. Don't know how young that was. 2, 3, 4 years old, gave him to the temple. And so a mother, a godly mother, gives the burdens to the Lord and says, Lord, could you help me with this? She's specific in her prayers. Lord, would you help me with this job that I've got? Would you help me with this person that I'm working with? Lord, I need your wisdom. That's a godly woman. A normal mother may not talk to the Lord about her burdens. She may carry them on her own. She may worry about them. She may be burdened about them. They may affect her spirit. But a godly woman, she learns to give them to the Lord. And you'll notice, if you would, look at verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know what she did? She gave her burden to the Lord at the foot of the altar and said, Lord, I've got this burden and I'm giving it to you. And so she was no more sad. She learned how to rely upon the strength of the Lord. Ladies, have you learned how to rely upon the strength of the Lord? I'm not saying it's easy. Us men, we may not rely upon the strength of the Lord in, but every godly man and godly mother learns to rely upon the strength of the Lord. So we're no more sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So a godly woman has learned to rely upon the strength of the Lord, and it brings joy to her heart. But another thing is, notice if you would, Proverbs 31, back over to Proverbs, you'll notice in verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, or the teachings that his mother taught him. A godly woman teaches her family. She educates her children in the ways of the Lord. And notice what here. He says this, verse 3, give not thy strength unto the women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Be careful how you live, son. You're a king. You've got to, there's more expected of you. You've got to do what's right. So here's a mom teaching her child, her son, and he remembers it. A godly woman consistently teaches her children how to live, to please the Lord. You see, she only has those children for 18 years to be able to work with their hearts. Now, a husband's responsible too, but in this passage, King Lemuel is saying, boy, I had a godly mother. Notice if you would in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a godly woman, a holy woman? For her price is far above rubies. So he begins to describe this righteous, godly, holy woman that's a mother. He begins to describe this person and says, she's rare, and she still is rare. Because just like everybody else, a godly woman, if she's not careful, can get caught up in the things of the world. She can get caught up with who's treating my child right or not right. She can get caught up with, I got to go to the grocery store, and I got to go to soccer practice, and I got to go do this, that. I don't have time to spend with the Lord in the mornings. I don't have time to, and so she's burdened down. She carries a lot of weight. She's not what she ought to be. Why? Because she's carrying everything on her own shoulders. That's most mothers. It's rare to find a virtuous woman, a godly woman. But you know what? In the strength of the Lord, every mother, every young lady in this room can be a godly young lady. Today, I noticed that as I would go through there, you'll notice that if you, I wouldn't have time to turn there, but in 2 Samuel 2, Hannah taught her son about salvation. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to see this. Notice, if you would, 2 Timothy 1, pretty famous verse. This is Paul talking to Timothy about his mother. And he says, when I call to remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned is an old English word for a pure faith. It's an unhypocritical faith. It's a faith that's genuine. When I remember the genuine faith, the lack of hypocrisy in your, notice this, in thee, which first dwelt in your grandmother, and then your mother, Eunice. Well, Lois had it, and then Eunice had it, and I'm persuaded in these also. Where did that come from? Godly grandmother, godly mother, a godly son. It's the teachings of a mother. And so everyone here, you're never finished teaching or praying for your family, especially your children. You know, she speaks of the laws of the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 6:20. Proverbs 6:20. Notice with me if you would. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Here's another king, Solomon, saying, son, keep the law of your father and keep the laws of your mother, the teachings they gave to you. As parents, our job is to teach our children. There's a prevalent thing today about, you know, let your children decide on their own. No, don't do that. I remember I've got a picture in my phone. We have a large Christmas tree in our house, and I think it's 15 feet tall. Susan loved Texas trees, and so we'd have to put that tree up there, and you've got stuff to hang up there, so I have a 12-foot ladder. And so you get on that 12-foot ladder, you climb all the way up, and the ladder's a little bit like this, and somebody holds it, and you go up there, and you get up there, and you put stuff up, and the rule was grandchildren don't get on that ladder. Okay, I've got a picture of Malachi. He's probably 4 or 5 years old, and he's putting the last ball on the tree, and it's on the third step from the top. I took the picture before I panicked too bad to get him down. And I know this, that he was taught, don't get up there, but he was so excited to putting that ball up there, and he went up the ladder. And so a grandmother and a mom is there to say, look, don't climb the ladder. Don't. And she gives a list of do's and don'ts to her children. Son, don't forget that. Every good mom does that, especially the things of the Lord. Now, notice this. She always works hard to take care of her family. She does what's best for her family. When we have missionaries here, we give the missionary wives $250 or $300 as a gift, and we take them out shopping. And you know what we have to do? We have to tell every one of them. And now we even assign one of the staff ladies to walk with them. Does anybody know why? Because they're so used to buying everything for their husband, for their little girls, for the little boys, that they say, well, I got $300 here that's not accounted for, and so I'm going to go to the store and buy stuff. And so I remember the first couple of times I got them, I said, hey, what'd you get? She said, well, I got some new shoes for my little girl, and I got some new pants for my little boy, and I got this, my husband needed a tie, and I got a tie. I said, that $300 was for you. I know, but we needed it. That's a mom. She always, a spiritual mom, always is thinking about her family. How can she be a blessing to the family? Notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn back to Proverbs 31. And notice this, if you would. In verse number 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In those days, they made their own clothes. She's not worried about the weather, the cold weather, because she's prepared. She's done things for them already. So now we take the ladies out and say, okay, will you go with Christina? Will you go with, and so they don't realize it, but we're just putting armed guards on that $300. That's what we're doing. You go out there, and so they'll go through and shopping, and they'll buy a purse. But I've had them look at me and say, Pastor, it doesn't feel right to buy for myself. A godly wife has those feelings. But she wants to take care of her family, and she does. You know, she toils and labors, and the picture of toiling and laboring mother is my grandmother with that stick in her hand as she's washing those clothes. And then she takes that stick in the hot water and picks it up and puts it in the crank and puts it in there. And the crank pulls it, two rollers, and they go like this. And as you crank it, it rolls that garment in there, and she'll crank that garment. It takes all the, it's sort of like the spin cycle. It takes it all out. And I remember my uncle Johnny, surprised his mother and put in a septic field and put an addition on the house and put in two things, a bathroom and a washing machine. You thought she was in heaven. She had already died and gone to heaven. She walked in there and put clothes in that thing. Now, what do I do, son? You turn this knob and push the button. What else do I do? You got to put some liquid in there to clean it with, whatever kind you like. Well, I just put my lights open. No. Let's just put some, here's some washing machine stuff for it. Put it in there. And it was like, wow. And she saw it. It was on the top. Wow, that's a lot of saving. You know, the last part about this is she does a lot of hard work. Take care of the family. But I'm wondering, how much work do we good? How much time do we take and work do we do to say, thank you, Mom. Mom, you've been good to me. Thank you. You know, not all moms are still here. Some are home already in heaven. You can't tell them thank you anymore. If a mom here today, whether she's here, someplace else, Mom, thank you. Now, let me just say this to you. There are no perfect moms. So you have to forgive. And you know why there's no perfect moms? Because there's no perfect dads. And there's no perfect kids. So we have to learn to forgive each other. But this mom, the godly mom, has a testimony that makes everybody respect her. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now the gates were where all of the leaders were. I mean, the mayor and the town council was in the gates. And so when someone would begin to talk about godly women, oh, well, you know, Miss Lois, oh, that's Timothy's mom. Wow, she's a godly mom. Wow. I mean, look at her daughter. Eunice, and look at her grandson, Timothy. Wow, they have a love for the Lord, and boy, she's a hard worker, and let her own works praise her. That's what a godly mom does. She doesn't praise herself, and that's every godly mom. But what she's done brings forth a great testimony. When my grandmother passed away, I preached her funeral. I couldn't do my mom's. I could do my grandmother's and my grandfather's, my uncle's. I could say my grandmother was a godly lady. And I watched her. And it made me want to please the Lord. Isn't that what every woman in this room that's got a son or daughter wants? Don't you want your children to look at you and say, I want to please the Lord? That is what King Lemuel wrote in the last chapter of Proverbs. You know, a godly woman, is her price is far above rubies because they're so rare. Today, every woman in this room that's got children can be a godly one without reference to age. But you've got to be saved. You've got to talk with the Lord. You've got to trust him with your burdens. You've got to work hard. You've got to teach your children. And you've got to do it sacrificially and let everybody else praise you. Today, are you a godly lady? And before we close, if you have a mother, a grandmother that you respect, have you taken the time to say, thank you? I love you. I was laying in bed last night and Janet was right there beside me and we're getting ready to pray for the missionaries and the phone rings. It's her eldest daughter. She says, Mom, I just want you to know I love you. I'm proud of you. Can I tell you this? If you're here today, make that phone call. Seek out your mom. Mom, thank you. No one's perfect. All of us deserve to be forgiven. But the preponderance of a life should have caused people to say, wow, she has a great God. Is that you today? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer. We're going to ask the Lord. To speak to your heart today. Let me ask you this question. Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure that you've trusted Christ as Savior? That's the start of being a godly woman. If you say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you come this morning and let me help you with that? Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've kind of messed up some. It's never too late to be a godly woman. But I can tell you this, it's very difficult because that's why they're so rare. What is the price of a godly woman? It's far above rubies. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, you do that. If you're here today and you haven't been the kind of son or daughter you ought to have been, come to this altar and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be more aware. Help me to be more appreciative. And make the promise to the Lord. I'll make that phone call. Make the promise to the Lord. I'll talk to Mom. Lord Jesus, thank you for godly moms. I pray that you'd help all of us. Lord, if our moms are still here, to have the privilege of telling them, I love you, I'm thankful for you. Lord, speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.